Has How To with John Wilson lost its allure? And when did the challenge on CBS become so great? All that and more on this week's Taking It Down.
An Alabama Tape Projection.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the Alabama Take, where we prompt conversations for thoughtful, busy TV devotees, all from us, your irreverent outsiders. I'm Blaine Duncan. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Alabama Take. I always could not help dissecting why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike when it comes to TV, movies, and more. I have an English degree and a side hustle as an English teacher, so I'll try my best to offer insight that you can use for conversation with others or even with us or even just to think about. Luckily, my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints on this podcast each week, as with me are the other hosts, Adam Morrow's an erudite traveling and studio musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald is a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film, television, and more. And Natalie Morrow, she's the first person to ask about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and she's a huge Beyonce fan. From us, you'll get the obvious, but you'll get the obscure. We are here for the TV and streaming obsessed who are just too busy for anything more than the show or movie itself. We'll give the outside of Hollywood analysis, and like a lot of the Alabama Tape productions, it'll come with zero Southern stereotype. It's us, we're here. Back from a break, it's all of us. If you head to the Alabama Takes YouTube channel, there's a YouTube playlist with Taking It Down, and you can click on it and see what we have to offer. We've got like audio only, just has like an image of our logo, and then you can watch this video version, which is us talking to you in a way. The YouTube version with video has a bonus. Bonus talk this week was Ahsoka. Tune it into it. Our sister podcast, We Are Star Wars, will definitely have more coverage on Ahsoka. We just gave some real cursory thoughts on it. Bob Barker died. Any cultural connections to you guys there?
It seems like everybody's posting, like, my companion on sick days as a child, you know, or I watched this with my grandparents.
Yeah. Like, I must have seen it because I can remember him being like, unless I'm completely insane. Like, isn't that like, oh, hey, spay and neuter your animals.
He ended every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can remember that, but I don't remember watching a second of The Price is Right.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember watching it at all.
You have none of the cultural touchstones of, like when people joked that, of course, he died at 99 because he didn't want to hit 100 and bust.
Oh, no, I understand the rules.
It's not an idiot.
I don't really, like, I must have seen it. I just do not remember seeing it ever.
Even, like, the games get referenced in pop culture pretty often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Oh, man. Huh. He was such a good host.
He was. And you know what? He was fantastic in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. He was funny. He's funny on Price is Right at times.
Yeah.
Adam read the news yesterday, and he turned and looked at me, and he said, I'm going to be honest. I thought he was already dead.
I heard someone else say that.
I definitely get that, right? There's sometimes I'll read an obituary and I'm like, wow, he lived 35 more years after I thought he did.
Yeah.
I tell you the big one for me, I have no idea when Richard Pryor died. No clue. Like, I thought he was dead long before he died. There's a
But here did he die?
Hell, I don't know. I just don't know.
Is he dead?
That's a good question. No, I think he's dead. I think he died much later than you would have expected.
You know, the one celebrity death that's happened since we were together is the man who voiced Dale Gribble on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
That's true.
We lost him. Genuinely bummed about that one.
What? How did he die? Do you know?
I'm not sure they released it. I mean, he was... How old would he have been? Early 60s? Something like that?
I think he was early 60s, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's a shame.
We'll get into our first bit here. We're here to talk about HBO series, which is streaming on Max, of course. How To with John Wilson, airing its third and final season of five or six episodes. I think it's six total, but five have aired. So we're almost in the end. The next week will be its last. How to describe this show?
You can't.
You really can't. Donovan, you want to take a run at this introduction of what How To with John Wilson really is?
Oh, gosh. You know, at a very... It's...
kind of found footage?
Almost. Gosh, what am I trying to say? It's almost like a Shaggy Dog story. Where he'll take, like, How To, something very mundane, right? And he'll just follow it. But he'll, like, follow it to, like, its logical or illogical conclusion.
Yeah, very illogical.
And so it seems as simple as, like, how to park a car, but it ends up being, like, you know, during that same one, he's like, when I had to figure out how to get my nose right, I've got to, you know, taste wines.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I would say it's kind of a part of the fun of, which makes it hard to describe, but part of the fun of it is, like, you have no idea what he's going to do.
Yeah, or where he's going to go.
Or where he's going to take it. Just, you know, just surrender.
You're right.
Just enjoy the ride.
I did not think the first three episodes of this final season were quite as good. Maybe because I know what to expect in a way. I knew...
Natalie has thoughts.
Go ahead. We've only seen the first two episodes. But I was telling Adam before we got on here today was... I think it was a mistake of him doing three seasons. I mean, obviously, take the money, do your thing. No shame in that. But, like... It was, first two seasons were clever, they were unexpected, they were fun, and now it's like, okay, we get the plot now, and just seems like he's reaching a bit. It used to be like, okay, I could see where you can make that leap. Now it's, I don't know, it's not it.
I thoroughly agree. It felt like a stretch to try to get some of where he lands with the final act of each episode. Those first three, I think episodes 4 and 5 were... more in the vein of what you wanted from the show. And it ended up where he uses something simple, one simple idea to examine like differences and acceptance and oddities of life and community. Especially that, I think that was the fourth episode really did some of those themes I was talking about. So the fourth episode's, I think, where it turns its corner. The fifth one is kind of even weird for How To with John Wilson. So I'm excited for you all to catch up and see the most recent episode.
I think I would agree with you and Natalie. I've only seen the first. So I haven't come to the good one yet. Like, it doesn't have the same, like, funny surprise that, like, the first season or so did. I don't know if I, like, hated it, but I also agree with both of you. Like, okay, I could see how, like, this could go on too long.
It's lost a bit of its charm, I think.
Yeah, there could be too much of this.
Maybe it's... ability to make you empathize with people that you didn't expect to. That was definitely a strength of the first couple seasons. And he just seems like I'm more tired of the shtick by the end of the episodes this season than I was the first couple.
Now on the bright side, there are only 6 total. And so you guys have seen, everyone here has seen the one about the restroom.
Yeah, I was going to say, if any listener... has not watched this show yet, please don't watch episode 1 while eating dinner, because we made that mistake and it was horrible.
It was a bad time to fire up.
Horrible.
The new John Wilson, for sure.
That's right up there with, at least for me, I watched that episode of Somebody Somewhere while eating dinner. it was a momentous choice.
Yeah.
Similar wavelength. And episode 2 is cleaning your ears. Not necessarily a very good one to watch.
When that episode started, I almost told Adam, I'm out. I can't watch the show anymore. It's all gross.
Yeah, he did go a very gross direction for 2. The third one's working out.
Gross.
Yeah, which could be.
Gross.
Does he go work out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Not.
I think he needs a fitness regimen.
Not for a long length of time. Anyway, they also, I've got it written here, they seem more disjointed than what he's done with other footage.
I wonder, too, while we were watching it, it was such a perfect COVID show.
Mm. Yeah, it was.
You know, it was like looking at, kind of remembering at least where we live, it's like, oh yeah, there are like cities out there and there are other people. And here's like a highlight of, again, not to use the word empathetic, but like people kind of hate each other right now. And here's a guy who is unafraid to find, if not commonality, at least he's letting people speak, you know, without too much judgment. Even like this, the How to Clean Your Ears episode where he ends up in that backyard in Jersey where the guy's just firing the cannon or whatever off on the back of his truck. I mean, it was funny. Everybody's laughing right now, but it felt more like spectacle than something that would have happened in the first season.
I mean, those first two seasons, the first one maybe especially, he almost hits this modern day transcendentalism type idea of beauty and absurdity in nothingness, in the mundane.
Yeah.
It's not happening this time around. And you're right. I don't know why. It's amazing to think. I was thinking during the first, well, I've seen all the episodes so far, and I was just thinking during all of them, what's appealing to people outside of New York City? Because he starts every episode with, "Hello, New York." And I guess it just hit me this season. I was like, oh, he's starting every episode with, "Hello, New York." But here I am in rural Alabama watching this every episode. Like, what's...
Well, it's because it's America's city.
Yeah, and we've all been there. But, like, if you've never been there, what would be the appeal? I was just... Of the show. Because there's got to be people who
still
watch.
Looms large in the imagination. He's not saying, like, you know...
Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Plano, or something like that.
I don't know.
Rude.
Shots fired. Now.
It would be great if he just... Maybe for, like, the... second season, third season, maybe do fourth and fifth season, just go film somewhere else, like, well, Florence.
Hello, Hoboken.
Yeah, just start, no. Well, I mean, start there. It unravel, yeah. That, but nah, maybe not. I'm sure he's got more up his sleeve. I don't know why I think this. I don't know that I've read anything official, but I feel like he's, like, got ideas to do other things. I don't know if y'all can confirm or deny that I've...
No, I haven't read anything.
I just feel like he's... I don't know. Like I said,
I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah, he seems like a witty, interesting guy. Did you know he was on Jimmy Kimmel?
Did you just say Kimball?
I didn't.
What did I say?
With a B in it?
Did I? Probably, because I am a Duncan, and we love mispronouncing names and places. We love it.
That's fucking the most, like, dad thing I think you've ever done.
Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Just wait till we have some poor unfortunate person with a name that's not just Smith or something. I will do it every time. Yes, Jimmy Kimmel. Is that it? Anyway.
You ever watch that Jimmy Kimmel? Yeah.
The son of a bitch, is it Campbell? What?
Thing like
anyway,
that.
He references it in the most recent episode, and I didn't know he was on there, but it's really funny. I kind of want to go watch the whole segment. Anyway, John Wilson's a quirky guy. How much of his voiceover is put on? Does he really stammer awkwardly that much?
I do kind of wonder that.
I wonder that a lot.
I hope he does, because it's annoying as hell.
It's annoying in the third season, but it was not annoying to me in the first and the second. Because I was just like, oh, come on, man. Surely you can edit, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I know it's supposed to have, like, a lo-fi quality to the whole thing. And, like, even, like, the microphone that he has people talk into is...
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, it is.
It's like a very late 2000s, early 2010s kind of... Yeah. Vibe, yeah. And it's I mean, I'm not, if that's genuinely what he, I'm with you, like, he could edit if he's not a great public speaker, but he seems to be leaning into the stutter more.
Yeah, he's into mumblecore
very much.
Yeah, exactly.
It is kind of funny though sometimes when he tries to think of a word in the middle of saying another word. Sometimes that can be pretty funny.
Yeah,
you're working out on a you're working out or whatever he does. It can be funny. The fifth episode, we might have to talk to y'all more about the fifth and sixth episodes, because I don't know what the sixth is going to hold, but the fifth one, he kind of sort of gets away from something he's been doing. Let's take a quick little break, tell you what's going on with the Alabama Take, another podcast in our network, and we're going to talk the Challenge USA. We haven't talked the Challenge in a minute on here, and we love it, and we hope you love it, so... Back in a second. Very intricately described as three buttholes talking about Star Wars. The best thing about the podcast We Are Star Wars is that Corey, and Jim, that's right, two Coreys, are self-aware. But not only that, they know their shit, We Are a Star Wars gives you plenty to think about as they break down the newest and the oldest in Star Wars canon, which is growing by the minute. Produced by the Alabama Take, We Are a Star Wars appears sporadically as the three buttholes gather themselves when they can, so be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Find any episode on thealabamatake.com as well. That's We Are a Star Wars.
So let's dive in. In the words of Bill Simmons, it's America's fifth major sport. Diving? What's that now? I said diving. Diving?
Cliff diving.
Not per Bill Simmons. We're going to discuss the Challenge USA, which is on CBS apparently every Sunday and Thursday. But I end up watching it streaming on Paramount Plus. I think it's about halfway through the season now. With you get your older seasoned competitors you'd probably recognize in the mix with some people from various other CBS reality shows. And my question to Natalie to kick this off, other than the obvious, right? We get the obvious. What's keeping this show any different than The Amazing Race, Survivor, Big Brother, or any other CBS reality series I might be forgetting?
What's making it different?
Yeah, because they've crammed so many of these people from those shows in there. What do you think is, like, still keeping it the challenge?
I mean,
and keeping you returning.
Oh, I'm only coming back to this show. I did not watch the first CBS Challenge, and I will not watch a CBS Challenge unless it involves MTV characters.
Okay, me too.
And I wasn't going to watch any of it until I did watch the World Champions season, because I knew they were pairing up the champions with challengers. So I watched it, into it. It's fine. It's not as good. It's not as good as the MTV version. I don't think it ever will be.
No.
You know, the Survivor, Big Brother folks, they bring a different sort of drama, which isn't quite as fun. But yeah, I mean, I think this show, it's still the challenge in essence, mm-hmm. on paper, because that's the game they're playing, and TJ is doing his job really well. Mm-hmm. But it needs MTV characters. Otherwise, it's just another boring CBS show.
100%. I want to jump in before Adam. I know he's chomping at the bit to talk about this, because he and I almost ruined our podcast fodder last night via text. But that World Champions?
Yeah.
World Champions. That one was okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It had some vets on. It was fine. This one is so much better. I'm going to argue that the Challenge USA Season 2, which is what's on, is so much better than that World Championship. Like, by leaps and bounds. The World Championship, I thought, was pretty forgettable. And Natalie answered her question. I was going to ask her that she said she won't watch a CBS Challenge, but what's changed her mind is that they've roped in the vets that we like to watch, and I think that's where I was. When I saw them on there, I was like, okay, well, am I going to watch this? Am I not? And I found out Natalie and Adam were already on it, so it didn't take me much to catch up. I mean, I binge these in a way that I can, meaning I watch one every night until I was caught up. That's a binge for me. Adam, you and I are digging this, aren't we?
I am, for sure.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's a twice a week little hit of the challenge, and it's been. When was the last MTV challenge on air? Does anybody remember offhand?
November.
Has it been that long?
I think so. Because there would have been the World Championship on. Well, I watched it on Paramount, so that would have been in the spring.
So, and there was a All Stars season.
Has that aired?
It's been too long.
It's a lot like watching an MTV episode on Fast Forward.
Yeah, it is. And I think the format is kind of imitating what already happens in the modern era of the challenge, which is you have some franchise players, if you will, fighting against the masses to make it to basically the point where we're at now in the season, where they can start to not just fight a numbers game. You know, like, you're always rooting for Wes and Bananas to make it through. Yeah. At least me. Like, even if you have, like, one of these, are they just calling them challenge vets, challenge whatever? You don't have to like all of them, but I think all MTV challenge fans want all of them that can to make it to the back half of the season, right?
Yeah.
Which is already kind of like how the main show goes every time they bring in a glut of new people.
Yeah.
And these new people, I gotta say, are decent on TV, you know, which is not always true with some of the rookies they bring in to the main show.
It's really fascinating to me that the vets have run the show for the past 5 seasons. Go back as far as you probably can. The vets have run it. They've controlled it. They got rid of the rookies. It would kind of irritate me as a viewer. Like, oh, man, they're just running the show. What's the point? This season, they're not. But the rookies, if you want to call them rookies, I know they've been on some other things. The rookies are now kind of, they have a little control. It's a little more balanced. And I'm angry that they have control. As a viewer, I'm like, I don't want them to have control. Why are they?
I think that both of us have a pretty finely tuned sense of what we think is like fair and just in the game.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think because like what they're winning right now, because when I said this to you in text, I think you were quick to agree that they feel all this confidence because it's just a pure numbers game, right? Mm. It's not actually based in, it's like Fessy winning like a hall brawl.
Right.
It's like, of course.
Yeah.
That's just math and physics.
While I don't want the vets running the whole show, I don't want the rookies running the whole show. I want, yeah, just this fairness, just this balance of the scale where it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I think that's what it amounts to. And it is the Challenge USA this season has done a very great job of, I don't know what's going to happen. I've got to tune in. I will say this most recent episode, we're all caught up.
Yes.
This most recent episode.
Well, I guess we'll be one behind when this comes
that's
out.
That's true. But, that's true.
Yeah.
So, yes, because we'll watch tonight. We record on Sunday. The one drawback of this most recent episode is the two people who went down to elimination was Alyssa and...
Cassidy?
Remind me. Said,
was there Cassidy?
See, yeah. That was a... And they don't have a... Production does not have a lot of control over certain aspects of this, which is why you watch it. It's a sport. You know, you watch Vandy in Hawaii because you don't know if Vandy's going to win by 7 or 30.
And because you're a sicko who's got to make rent, you know, like Donovan.
Yep. Don't pay for itself.
That's such a good joke. I love it. But so,
what's the joke?
He's even got a mortgage this year.
It's not a joke. It's just funny. So Cassidy and Alyssa went down to elimination. I couldn't even remember who went down to elimination. For late season or mid season, that's not really the matchup you want down there. That should have been the first one. But I never know what's going to happen. And I just keep tuning in. And man, I'm so glad Natalie. It's the magic of the hopper.
It is, because Alyssa only had the one vote in there. Yeah. And she's still... But see, I think that matchup is great because these are two people who thought that they were in control of the game to a certain degree. And now that, you know, it's what Bananas used to always make fun of Wes for. He's like, his strategy works great early in the game because you go around and you tell everybody, I got you and you and you, and we're all buddies. But then you can't take everybody to a final. Yeah. Right now the implosion is happening and the Challenge vets have done it so many times they know when to like step back and just stay out of fire. But you're right, the surprises and the way that it's on fast forward for it to shift so quickly from rookie control to then Josh of all people being the one who kind of
he
gets the vets back on track.
He ran that vote.
That's great.
It was. He's coming into his own, maybe, a little. Still, he's fun to have on the show. You'd never root for him to win, but you do want him on there. I'm that way about Wes, except that sometimes I'll root for Wes. But I always want him on there. So, Donovan, they have this big, like you see on newscast, with the bingo-type hopper. Like, okay. Where they press the button and the air will shoot you a ball up. So that's what they've got with their names on it. And depending on how many times you get voted in is how many times your names will appear on a ball. So you don't, you know, you could get 6 votes but still not get thrown into elimination.
Uh-huh.
They also vote by taking one of these balls, whoever's name on it, and putting it in like a bank teller drive-through.
There's a name for that.
The pneumatic tube. Really
yeah, did you notice the first time they all went to do that in the first episode when they all went to vote for the first time, half of them jumped. Like, they were startled by how quickly the thing, like, sucked
like,
their
have you never
up.
Been to a bank?
And it must be loud because Alyssa plugged her ears when she voted this last week.
It, with the hopper, it's really a shame they couldn't just maybe pay out some of Shirley Jackson's estate stuff and called it the challenge lottery and just really thrown it into that arena. You know what I mean? That would have been awesome. I'm going to give you some guys, and I want Adam and Natalie to just tell me real quick opinions. I'll start with vets. So, Josh.
Are we calling him a vet now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting that there are return challenge players that are on like Team Big Brother or Team Survivor that aren't considered vets. But I was really glad in the last episode to see most of them playing as vets.
Yeah. I think he made the turn this season.
Yeah.
So what you got on Josh? Like, dislike? Ugh,
so annoyed. I just need Josh to grow up. And I think he is, finally.
Hey, he hasn't cried this season.
I don't even mind the crying. It's just the yelling, the just like immature, I got my feelings hurt, and now you're all like, get your feelings hurt, feel your feelings. No, nothing wrong with that, but like, don't make it a thing.
Here's another one.
So does TJ.
No, he's quitters.
He made fun of Josh for crying, too.
He was crying over something stupid.
Right. That's what I mean. If you're crying because you're genuinely hurt or you gave it your all and you came up a little short, that's fine. Josh crying is not fine.
Okay, Corey.
You mean Teen Team Mom? He has messed up this season big time. I usually like Corey to an extent, but his whole like want to be different with Team Youngblood, now he's Team whatever the hell. He, for some reason, will not accept his fate as a vet, even though it would benefit him so much. He's always going to be a standout different guy, and it doesn't make for a good game.
I always kind of like him.
Yeah, nothing against him. I just think he's bad at this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But he makes it far enough to where I'm used to seeing him mid-season still. Because we've solely watched MTV productions almost solely. I'll give you a couple of newcomer names. Desi.
Which one's Desi? See the Amazing Race guy? Wait, is he the guy?
Black lady who has excellent biceps.
Oh, God, girl. I thought it was this other guy.
Desi. See? Real pretty girl.
She seems real strong. She did really well in the hanging thing, right? She was one of the she seems like she could be good.
I'm a fan of her. I hope she's on more. All right, and I'll give you one more and you can laugh away. Dusty.
Wait, is this the guy I was thinking about? Which one's Dusty? I don't know.
So Dusty was he's the one who claims bananas is his hero and yet they look similar in age. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I kind of do too.
I think it's great.
Yeah, that's like watching any one of us get to be on the challenge and like be around.
Right.
He's so stoked.
He was crying when Bananas defected.
Was he?
So. He did cry. Yeah.
Oh, I like Dusty.
It's funny in a not so funny sort of way that it's the Challenge USA and they're playing in Croatia. There's a certain
TJ's favorite location.
TJ made that call. Is it? Sure.
Oh, okay.
He said that at the beginning.
There's not a show on TV that consistently makes me hold my breath like this one. I'll be sitting there watching TV and realize I haven't moved a muscle or taken a breath in like 30, 45 seconds during an elimination, especially.
Oh, I find myself doing the like when you're a kid and you're playing Mario Kart and you're leaning with your controller. I do that while watching the challenge.
Yeah, that's why we love it. That's why we talk about it. Going back to Desi really quickly, she made a salient point that the hangups you have in life are the same hangups that are going to hurt you in the challenge. I thought that was like really philosophical, but also probably true. I've never been on the challenge, but
she seems like that could come back to bite her. Not playing with a little bit of the tough skin, the facade.
Yeah,
you know, like I think the best challengers know that they're kind of like putting on a mask when they go into the house a little bit?
Yes. And you don't think she's doing that, or she's not doing it enough?
I think she's a little, yeah, she could do it more, because she could be really good, but she's got to let go of some of both her allies that are probably not all that helpful, and just, you know, be a badass.
Is she the pageant? She's got a pageant background? Mm-hmm. Is that the one?
Okay. Yeah, and she's also in, like, newscasting?
Yeah.
Or sports casting?
She feels very, like, we haven't actually met her yet. There's something about all of her interactions. It's like she very clearly knows how to present herself, and she's still doing that.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely, I mean, it's still on CBS, and there's still some people on the season who don't seem to be deserving or getting any screen time, like Alyssa S. If I say that name, does a picture even emerge?
Only because there were two Alyssas, and I knew that she was not the one that annoyed me.
I mean, I could not have told you what Cassidy looked like until this last episode, and she got put in eliminations. Yeah. Still a little of that, but this season has been so much better than the World Championships in South Africa. That was so forgettable.
I don't want to steal possibly one of your questions just while we're talking about different personalities.
I'm pretty done. I'm kind of done. I'm on my descent.
We made it this far without mentioning Pauly, which is very interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
I hated him so much and thought that he ruined the show. Like, he's kind of like a... I guess somehow he's more toxic than Turbo.
But he wasn't this season, right?
But the personal growth, like Josh has obviously experienced some, but Pauly was like a different dude.
Yeah, he mentioned therapy a couple of times, and you could tell it paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, that was neat.
It was neat.
It's going to be a fun year with Pauly back. Seeing Pauly back and better and just like more entertaining than ever before. And then knowing Kara's going to be back on All Stars. Like, this is going to be a good year, guys.
It's going to be a good challenge year. We might bring it up again. You know us, we love the challenge. I'm not so sure how many of our listeners dig into the challenge as much as we do, but you should. It's still fun.
Give it a try.
That's the end of our episode this week. Here's the deal. If you'll leave us a review in Apple, I'll read it on the air. And you can watch the video version on YouTube. You can just listen to audio in any podcast app, and we appreciate all of it. All four of us are back. All four of us are at least alive. We're not healthy. Right, Donovan? I've got a major sinus infection.
Might be a stretch sometimes.
Donovan's got COVID for the first time ever. Adam's got, they're going to saw into Adam next week. My goodness, we're dead.
True.
We're dead men walking. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for my three buddies here. See everybody later.